Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, final hour of Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get back into the Rocket stuff here in just a second. Someone has put me on Bad Take Boulevard, Paul. Because they have tough time listening. I said that paying Jonathan Greenard $20 million a year to not play was similar to J.J. Watt. What I meant by that is just it would have been nice if J.J. Watt played more games. I'm not comparing the two players.
I understood what you
were saying. It's not the same thing, but people are tagging Jeremy Branham and going full Mike Fires Rat on Twitter right now.
It's because I pounced on it and made it say, like, well, hang on. He's not J.J. Watt. He's the sacred cow of Houston football.
And then this guy said, I'll send this one to Jeremy for mean text when they do it at the end of the week. Not even 3 whole days on the radio as an on-air personality, and Joe George has already become my second least like host behind Jeremy Branham. At least I'm not the least like host.
Yeah, that was good. At
least I'm not.
See, you're speaking from the heart. You're not trolling like Jer Bear.
No, I don't know. I don't care if people don't like me. I hope all you love me. But if it's okay if you don't,
I love you.
Thank you. So we talked about the Rockets game to start the show, you know, and it obviously is a disaster. But we talked about more the players, the focus on where this team is at versus expectations. But even though I don't think that the Rockets have, it's not a full-on disaster. I do think, Paul, when you look at this team, like they spent $60 million in free agency. You know, I don't think they chose the wrong guys all the time in the draft because of where they ended up in the lottery. But I don't think Tillman Fertitta, or whoever's running the show, should be very happy with the job that Rafael Stone has done. You know, standing pat at the trade deadline, not moving away veteran players for more assets, not making some kind of move. I would be unhappy if I was running the Rockets and Rafael Stone was my GM right now. So I would move on this offseason.
I've done rants before about how unqualified I think he is. We're talking about a corporate lawyer that went from being that to someone in charge of basically scouring the world now, since basketball is such a global sport, for talent. And he hasn't done a good job. And that story about him and his obsession with Kevin Porter Jr., who is the reddest of red flags, given his laundry list of things that he has done before even the incident that saw his time with the Rockets essentially end. But devil's advocate here, since I've done this before, do you think that who they hire next is going to be the right guy? Because sometimes you have an owner, or I don't know, an owner's son, who is maybe too hands-on, or maybe thinks he knows more than he actually knows. And from the sound of things, from what I understand, and I'll be honest, I don't know the ins and outs of Houston Rockets basketball like some, but from what I understand, Patrick Fertitta has more of a hands-on role there, the son of Tillman, and he's the guy that wanted to bring back James Harden, which is just, I'm sorry, dumb at this point. Imagine if they had paid James Harden a ton of money.
I mean, they might score more points. The defense wouldn't be as good as it's been.
Definitely not.
You know, and that's where the NBA is so much different than talking about the NFL for so many different reasons. The first one for me is that while I don't think Rafael Stone is doing a good job, if you told me to give you a list of candidates, I got nothing for you. I got nothing. Whereas in the NFL, we know people's names at least. Like, you know when a coach is fired, who could replace them. You know most of the time when a GM is fired in the NFL, who some options would be to replace said GM. I didn't know who Steven Silas was. I knew he was Paul Silas' son when I looked it up. I was like, I knew who Paul is. I knew who his dad was. I didn't know who Steven Silas was. So people in the media in this city who were like, Steven Silas, great hire. Based on what? Being an assistant coach for one of the worst franchises in the NBA? The
devil's advocate, you can make an argument for anybody being a good or bad coach. You really don't know until you actually see it in action.
100%.
But it does feel like the guy that you're not a fan of, Rafael Stone, was too meddlesome when it came to the things that Steven Silas was trying to do. And my question is, who gave him that green light? And it does feel like that is either Tillman Fertitta or Patrick Fertitta. And it does make me wonder, okay, if they do what you want, fire Rafael Stone, which I have no opposition to at all.
Yeah.
Are they actually going to get the next guy right?
No, it's hard to know. It's just, there's certain timelines you have to try to follow, or I guess like it's somewhere you reach the end of the road. And that's where I'm at with Rafael Stone. Like, could he be successful elsewhere? Maybe. It has been a brutal situation here in Houston. Like, there is no denying that. From the James Harden, like, hiring Steven Silas to coach James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and both those guys gave an endorsement to hire Steven Silas, and then, well, Russ never played for him, and Harden played, what, 10 games? And
John Wall, like, the only guy who spoke up on that, too.
So it's just like it was a total disaster in a lot of the ways. A lot of it is luck with where you land in the lottery. You could win the lottery this year, and there could not be a single good player in the lottery. So it is a more challenging job.
Yeah, and going back to Steven Silas, like, the reason people were excited about him is because he had just been the lead assistant in Dallas for the Dallas Mavericks when they had just had the highest rated offense of all time, which basically just means they had the highest offense that year, because every year is the new highest offense.
Yeah.
It's been that way for like the last 4 or 5 years. And it turns out having Luka Doncic really helps in that way. And that's what it comes down to a lot of times in the NBA. It's just like, You touch on with the draft, and you hope you draft a good player. It's a lot of times it's same thing with coaches, same thing with GMs. Really, all that matters is how good the players are.
Honestly, I think people were just excited about Steven Silas because they thought in their head it was like, well, if Luka gets tired of playing in Dallas, he's openly talking about how much he loves Steven Silas. Maybe he would demand a trade to the Rockets.
It's also because when he got hired, James Harden was still on the team. James Harden and Luka Doncic play very similar ways, and so it was something of like, okay, this is a guy who can still coach. Yeah, James Harden wants him. He has a system, or you know, he's gotten a lot out of a player that's a lot like James Harden. Again, he coached him for 13 games. So I do agree though that in total, Rafael Stone is, I would put him, he's below average, but I don't think he's like a bottom five GM in the league. Like, there's a lot of just absolute disasters of GMs in the league, but he hasn't done anything that really like knocks your socks off. If anything, the best things he's done is drafting out of the lottery. The non-lottery picks that he had.
Cam Whitmore.
Tari Eason was the 17th pick. So those are the three best picks he's made, and they're the, you know, three later first-round picks that he's made.
But the problem is, okay, the progress that we were hoping to see from Jabari Smith Jr., given what we saw from him at the end of last year, much like Jalen Green the year before with the progress he had at the end of last year, like, both of those guys just do not seem to be step forward you want.
Jabari's taking a step forward.
He has. I would say at the end of last year, I think a lot of people, including myself, were like super high on what Jabari would be this year. But you're right. He has taken a step forward.
Yeah, he's not going 25-10, but he's
extremely young. He's He's extremely raw. With Green and then on top of that, the Fred VanVleet deal, which is probably the deal you had to give him to get him to come here.
And I thought it was
had
fun.
No point guard and the Brooks deal. Like those three.
But the Fred deal, it's like, okay, it's a team option after next year. So he's only on the team this year, next year. So it's not like a long-term, like the Dylan Brooks one, where it's 4 years. It's also like, who was going to be the point guard of this team? Kevin Porter Jr. if he didn't get arrested?
And I think they can move on from it, too, very easily, Fred VanVleet's deal. Like they could trade it this offseason if they really felt the need. If they wanted to give Amen Thompson the keys and just let him be the starting point guard, I think they could. And, you know, the other thing, too, is that we all know how sports work. Like, sometimes the new voice wins. And I think Adoka was probably going to want his guy. You know, if things didn't go well for the Texans this year, we would have been talking about, does DeMeco want his guy to be the GM? And I think that's what we're going to see with Adoka.
Especially when you talk about how meddlesome Stone was when Silas was the coach.
Yeah.
A lot less meddlesome. We don't hear about him stopping practice with the Udoka around. Now, some of that is maybe he was sitting there being like, what the hell is Steven Silas doing? Like, someone needs to step up and do something. And Udoka is a much better coach than that. Or it could just be a situation where, Udoka's like, no, we're not doing that. we're not doing the you know, you're going to be hands-on in this. And it's just a different style. And I don't think that he gets fired. I feel like it should be said that there's almost no chance he gets fired this offseason.
Who's Stone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Because Tillman Fertitta is going to look at this team and be like, they won 10 more games than they did last
year. I go back to the Adoka where it's, I think that those stories we were getting about, you know, wanting to win and maybe trade some of the young pieces. If Adoka really wants that and the Fertittas are somewhat on board with it, I don't know if Rafael Stone would be the GM to make those moves. And I think Adoka could win a power struggle.
But the GM can make those moves, but make moves he doesn't want to make.
True.
I'll show you Daryl Morey making the Russell Westbrook trade.
True.
you can get your arm. You know, if the owner wants you to make a move, you can make a move. If Stone doesn't want to trade Jalen Green this offseason, and Ime Udoka and is like, no, we really shouldn't be starting the worst shooting guard in the league. Really, you can trade him for literally anyone, and it would be better. Fertittas are on board with it. Like, he'll do it.
Yeah,
those are the guys I worry about, because the Fertittas seem like a group that would look at Jalen Green and say, "Wait, we're getting rid of this asset." Don't you guys feel that way? Like, just based off of what we know about the Fertittas, like, oh, we're just gonna get rid of this guy and lose out on that deal.
I would say that literally anyone if you are gonna be, we have to be good next year. If you're doing the Ime Udoka short term focus, again, almost any guy you trade Jalen Green for will be better than what Jalen Green has done this year.
Because I feel like the Rockets and the Fertittas,
you can trade him for Zach LaVine, and Zach LaVine is better than Russell or than Jalen Green.
I think to your point though, Paul, I think the Fertittas would be less likely to trade a Jock Landale or Fred or Dylan Brooks because they actually have invested significant money into those players by bringing them in here. I think they'd be more likely to trade players who are making nothing and they just drafted.
I get that, but when you got the number two overall pick and you're like, well, what if this guy's good as somewhere else and we're not getting that much in return for him? I don't know. I think that's been one of the things that we've seen often this season as far as the online discourse about the Rockets. It's been a lot of people that are like, well, you can't get rid of Jalen Green because he's so young. And to what we were talking about earlier with SGA, like, it takes a while for some of these guys to get good. I'm not suggesting that.
But he's been so bad.
I agree. Believe me, I agree. I want him off the team. Like, he seems to have an ego about it, too. And I'm like, yo, that's clearly not working with Udoka. And my concern is that Udoka does not have the full autonomy there. I don't think it's Stone as much as it's the Fertittas necessarily. But I hope, Joe, what you said at the beginning of the segment, I hope that they do move on from Stone. I hope they bring in somebody that's in alignment with Udoka. That just seems to make the most sense right now.
And it's just they've improved this year, 100%. But they haven't taken that big leap that I think the Fertittas probably want them to make as well. And I just think a new voice could be good for this. Like someone that's from an outside perspective to give their view on Jalen Green.
But not an outsider perspective like us three, which is essentially like what Stone's qualifications were.
Or outside perspective like Patrick Fertitta. Because I think there's a pretty good chance that's the next GM of the Rockets.
If you go back to draft night and you look at the video when they draft Amen Thompson, it is Patrick Fertitta is the one talking to Amen. It is not Tillman. It is not like when Cal would talk to CJ Stroud. It is Tillman's kid is the one that's on the phone with your top pick.
Jesus.
It's a red flag. You know, and that's it has been my longest I know it's impossible because these rich people buy these teams and they buy them to hand them down to their kids. If I could change one thing about sports, Paul, it would be that when someone passes away or doesn't want their team anymore, that the owners have to vote on their children. That you should have been able to take away the Texans from Cal McNair, that you could take away the Rockets from Patrick.
The league have to confirm them, like the Supreme Court justices.
And they would never, do it because they'd be like, well, what about my kids? But like,
they would have to have forced sales. I mean, we've seen forced sales before. Now, it is basically
just because of racism.
It's against every, basically. It's against every single capitalist principle in the United States.
100%.
So, like, a lot of people will get weirdly mad about this, even though, like they're billionaires. Yeah. Screw them.
Sorry, I want a meritocracy when it comes to owning the Houston Rockets.
I think that's a great
I'm literally getting called a communist on Twitch right now.
But I actually like that because, yes, the children of these people are generally, no offense, Jim Irsay's.
Because they didn't earn it. It's not their money. It's not their... Exactly. It's not Cal McNair's money that bought the Texans.
Barry Warner, who I used to do shows with way back in the day, always called it the Lucky Sperm Club. And I mean, that name has that stuck with me forever. And he's right. Like, that, it's something that's been going on for centuries and centuries. Like, generally, the rich businessman who has children is going to have, like we saw on the television show Succession, Kendall Roy's. And Roman Roy's. Shiv Roy's.
Shiv's okay.
The other guy, the guy from Ferris Bueller.
Shiv should have got the company.
None of them should have gotten it.
I liked her. I
liked Shiv?
I believe
her name was Shiv.
Roy.
And I mean, she was stabbing people in the back before, spoiler alert, Tom stabbed her.
I mean, I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
No, like stabbed her in the back.
I can't.
Stabbing her the other way.
I can't judge her based on her parents' terrible decision to name her.
I can. She's terrible.
I mean,
Shiv sucked. Kendall sucked. Roman was cool.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Is Paul part of the Lucky Sperm Club? Well, it's time for fun facts.
I have a cake eater.
Next.
Let me tell you first, though, about my friends at mybookie.ag. Do you want to be a Fertitta-esque person someday? Do you want to make millions and millions of dollars? Well, a good way to start is by playing the old roulette, right? Or playing cards. Because at mybookie.ag, you know what you got? You got an online casino that you can visit in your pants or without your pants. They have online slots, table games, Texas Hold'em, with a live casino with in-the-flesh dealers playing poker, blackjack, baccarat, roulette, everything you want with you. And, of course, you can also bet on the sports. Maybe you want to bet on the Cougs to win the Natty. Maybe you want to bet on the Astros to win the World Series. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. And when you sign up with promo code BET975, you get an awesome deposit bonus. Turn that into cash right away that you can play with right away. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
Now back to Paul Gallant and Joe George, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Joe George, Paul Gallant here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, here with you till 3 o'clock. The Killer Bees will be with you until 6. Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham, Sean Mapes here with us as always. See, I'm being called a Marxist.
Yeah, you're a commie.
A communist.
Just embrace it.
I hate capitalism.
You want the redistribution of wealth.
I'm just saying, man, like, a lot of times, the kids, you know.
Yeah, they can keep the money. Just don't run the team.
Yeah, they can have $3 billion.
Force them to sell the team. I like it.
Or buy it back.
Yeah,
like, buy it back from the league.
It's pretty.
I just want the league to approve them.
It's a constantly appreciating asset. You're going to make a huge profit off it if the sale is forced.
Oh, they might have to pay the taxes or something like that. Yeah, whatever. And you know what you also avoid? You also avoid potential lawsuits like Kerry McNair tried to have. To take it away from Janice.
That wasn't cool.
That wasn't cool.
Not cool at all.
It's all gone now. It's all over. All right, so we've been doing this all week.
Fun facts about ourselves.
Fun facts, so we can get to know each other, the three of us. We've been going. Yesterday we learned that Paul did ballet.
Mm-hmm.
I said I did musical theater. I'm really sorry, Sean. I forgot what you said.
Colorblind.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So who wants to start today? Paul, why don't you start
today? I'll start today. So listen, people don't like my food takes. You know, I think day one I said I don't like cheese. not the biggest chocolate fan either, but the
all fun, chocolate?
I've come around on some chocolate.
Okay.
Yes. But the fun fact I have today is I have only eaten at this fast food restaurant once in my life.
Okay. Am I supposed to guess now?
Taco Bell. Once. And I did not want to go.
I know, Joe. I know.
I didn't want to go.
I had Taco Bell Sunday and
Dude,
Monday.
I literally was thinking about getting Taco Bell on the way home. I'm starving.
Well, don't you want to get back in shape, buddy boy?
Yeah.
You want to eat some dog meat?
Tomorrow.
Fried dog meat. Yummy.
I can, you know, I've been going, if I go low calorie the rest of the day, you know, I might be okay.
You're going to get like the keto option at Taco Bell?
No, I just like, I've barely ate. I had like some eggs for breakfast. I had one of those, a protein shake.
Got to do some meal prep, buddy.
Dude, I got a 3-year-old man. I ain't got time for meal
that's
prep.
True. I forgot.
It's hard. It's hard. I used to meal prep all the time.
Yeah.
But it's I don't know. Life just gets in the way.
I can imagine it does.
Life gets in the way. So why? So you had Taco Bell once.
Well, he doesn't like cheese. So that's that half of the Taco Bell menu.
That might be like 90% of the Taco Bell menu, honestly.
The other thing is, it's just the quality of the meat that you're getting there. I mean, I don't like to go to really many fast food places. If I do, I'm getting fried chicken. Like, that's pretty much all I will do. I do not trust the beef. I do not trust the fish. I do not trust
pork.
I mean,
McRib. Oof.
Here's
the thing. I totally understand where you're coming from, but at some point, I think you just accept it.
I just thought it was crazy. Because I've known this about Paul. I think it's just crazy for someone who goes out as much as Paul does.
Yeah, well,
that
so
you've never
you,
never so had you, Taco Bell at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. So what do you do when you drink? Like, you get hungry, obviously. What's your drunk food?
I don't really have one.
Well, good for you.
Almonds?
I mean, bake some chicken?
Yeah, that's the meal prep. He has fourth meal.
I just never have any snickety snacks in my place.
But you just said you guys lived in the bakehouse. Like, what did you eat when you lived in the bakehouse? Pringles?
Cameo cookies, but for the most part. No, for the most part. Mainly because of the fact that I grew up in a home that like did not do sweets and stuff. I generally keep it out of my place because when I have it in front of me, I will eat all
of it.
It
goes down.
I'll eat the whole box in one sitting. Like, I have no self-control.
What's the Oreo variant that you like?
Insert flavored Oreo that's vanilla based.
He brought some over because he was like, I need to get this out of my house. I've been eating the entire thing. And I was like, here, try it. I never tried it. I forgot. Was it pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice Oreo.
Gross. I tried it and I just was like, it's fine. Like, it's not that good. And you're like, what?
3 seconds.
Okay, that's interesting. So yeah. Taco Bell once in your life.
And I thought that was interesting today just because of that story about Wendy's where they're introducing surge pricing,
which seems like
to their menu.
So they're gonna raise the prices of their food at like lunch and dinner between like whenever they're at their busiest, they're gonna raise the prices.
Yeah. I just thought about the possibility of you're in line, like thinking you're about to order something and the price goes up like
a $9 Baconator.
I would lose my mind if the price went up like 20
cents. Think about how much people
it's like the stock market, there's a green arrow up.
but does it go down? So like if I go get dinner at 4 from Wendy's, is it gonna be cheaper?
No, it'll be normal price.
Yeah.
It'll be normal price and above.
Well, like, think about the people that would freak out about McDonald's breakfast and being in line, and then when they used to like actually cut it off at 10:30, and you're gonna see those prices just like you're in line. There's gonna be fights at Wendy's because people are taking too long to order.
That's
because they're gonna see the prices going up and they're gonna start slamming on their horns.
And then it's gonna go to McDonald's. It's gonna go to all the fast food places. So
and then it's gonna go to like Chipotle, and then we're really screwed.
Oh yeah, I mean I'll be upset if they do it with Chick-fil-A is my like go to fast food spot, and I will be very upset.
If this doesn't like put Wendy's out of business and it actually goes well, this will become just a part of food everywhere. Regular
darkest day in American history.
Yeah, it will become like a regular part of every restaurant.
Well, I'm sure all of these companies have like they compete against each other in quotation marks. They're all going to collude a little bit. I mean, if one of them does it, they're all going to start doing it.
Yeah.
They realize it's going to help them one sell things for a lot more, but two they'll sell other things probably on the menu that have not raised in price, and they can get rid of the stuff that they're making in mass.
Yeah, it'll see if I think they'll like wait to see if it works at Wendy's, and if it works, then it will all be it'll be everywhere.
Yeah, not good.
Sean,
mine's
fun fact.
It's more of a story,
okay,
than a fun fact. I am a big fan of the Fast and Furious movies. Not anything groundbreaking. One time when I was in college, I believe it was Fast 8, I want to say, 2017. Is that right? Yes, that is right.
Sounds about right.
Fact check in my head, that's right. The movie starts with something called the Cuban Mile, which is a street race through the streets of Havana, Cuba, based on real events, I assume. I don't know. And I Venmo'd my friend. I forgot if I was requesting or getting. And I said, for the Cuban Mile. Venmo sent me an email being like, what's this about Cuba exactly? And sent me a thing with the tariffs and the whatever stuff about, what's it called? When you can't ship things, embargoes and stuff. And they're like, we'd just like an explanation of like what this means with the Cuban Mile. So 20-year-old Sean had to write this email.
Oh, you have it?
Yes. to the good people at Venmo. Dear Venmo, I was trying to pay back my friend for tickets for the movie Fate of the Furious. Quote, the Cuban Mile is a style of street race portrayed in the movie where the characters race through the city of Havana, Cuba for approximately 1 mile. The winner of the race... the winner of the race was supposed to win the car of the loser. However, after Dom... wins the race, he decides to let the loser keep his car because Dom had already earned the other racer's respect, and his respect was more than enough for Dom. My friend and I found the scene especially moving, so when it came time to pay him back for the tickets, I included the phrase, the Cuban Mile, in my memo. Sorry for whatever inconvenience this caused you. I was just trying to pay homage to a great film.
Did they respond?
Yes. I don't have the response, but they're just like...
Did they laugh?
Yes. It was good. You could tell that I did not get an automated response. I got a real person. And being like, all good.
Like, all good,
you're
dude.
Clear.
You know, it's funny. Mine was about movies today, too. The longest I've ever sat in a movie theater was 10 hours.
Did you see 3 movies in a row?
I did.
Lord of the Rings?
Batman. They did a special midnight release for the third Batman movie. And they played, so Batman Begins, and then they played The Dark Knight, and then right at midnight, The Dark Knight Rises started. And there was like 15, 20 minutes in between each movie.
Okay.
It was awesome, but terrible at the same time.
That's a long day.
Yeah. It was brutal.
It's a lot of popcorn.
I kind of napped through Batman Begins, because even though it's good, I know it's not the best one.
Yeah, that's a load management. You gotta save up.
There. Batman Begins is better than the third one.
It is, but I didn't know that at the time, obviously.
He didn't see the third.
Gotcha. So yeah, it was all on opening night.
Gotcha, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I was like, Batman Begins, like, it's good, but I've seen it so many times, and The Dark Knight is just, it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
You want to be peeking during Dark Knight.
That's true.
Yeah, like, ready.
True. Use the restroom before.
I will say I was really disappointed when The Dark Knight Rises happened, because I did not walk out of that movie, like, thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed parts of it, especially all of Bane.
Yes.
The punishment must be more severe.
They spent one of our bodies in the crash.
Yeah, right. His voice was the thing I remember most of that movie, though, is Tom Hardy as Bane with that voice. And the rest of the movie was just a little bit all over the place. Have you ever double dipped with movies? You've seen one and then seen another?
Yeah, I've done that before.
I did Horton Hears a Who and Avatar, I think, in one day.
I did Kick-Ass and Hot Tub Time Machine once.
Ooh. Were you underage and not allowed to see 2 rated R movies?
It was when I was, I would have been like 12 years old.
Wow, you little badass.
It was like 09, I want to say. 08, 09,
right? So Sean's going to illegal movies.
Yeah.
He's sending things to Cuba.
Yeah.
Like Sean Mapes. Dangerous person.
Dangerous person. We're going to get flagged.
All right. The Texans are back, it seems. Are the new yearly grades of what's going on in the NFL, what's good, what's bad. And, you know, the Texans did pretty good about this. We'll talk about that next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George with special guest star Paul Gallant and recurring character Joe George, also featuring Sean Mapes.
So we got the NFL player team report cards for 2024. Each team, you know, the player, they vote on treatment of families, food, cafeteria, nutritionist slash dietitian, the locker room, training staff, weight room. And then, you know, each team, you know, there's some little blurbs in here as well. But, you know, and there's more than that, too. The Houston Texans grades are out. And Paul, look, the Texans did pretty good.
Second straight year they did pretty good.
What did they do in 2000? You got 2023s here?
I'll give you their 2023 grades first before you read it out. So, in 2023... the Texans, as far as, hang on a second, as far as treatment of families, they were a B+. This website is not exactly the most navigatable one. After that, the Houston Texans, as far as nutrition, also a B+.
Improved this year to an A-.
Okay.
Just click on the Texans and it'll all pop up.
That's how it works.
Okay, yeah, you go to the team one, like click on the team.
I saw what he was doing. He was looking at it and then scrolling up and then scrolling down.
Yeah, that was not smart. So, weight room A,
strength. Oh, it dropped this year to a B.
Oh, strength coaches A,
dropped this year to a B.
Training room B,
went up this year B+.
Training staff A+.
Went down to a B+.
Ooh. Locker room, B+.
B this year.
That locker room is great. What are we talking about here? A team
ping
travel.
Pong table? Did the ping pong table get taken away?
I must have.
No, what it is, they have a whole bunch of guys that went to LSU, Alabama, Ohio State.
Mm.
You know what?
So they
it's like
they
those got, locker rooms are nice.
Yeah, they got spoiled.
Yeah.
Team travel, A+.
B-.
Whoa.
And Cal get a new plane?
Listen, you think with all the winning that they would overlook a lot of things. No, these guys are getting a little bit
maybe choosier. Their expectations have changed.
That is surprising because, look, what I took away from this list last year, where they graded very well in a lot of spots, was that everyone dumped on the Texans ownership group as being one of the worst in the league. And I always thought to myself, okay, the Bill O'Brien era, the general manager musical chairs from Rick Smith to Brian Gain to Bill O'Brien having all the power to Jack Easterby's involvement at all. There were a lot of moments where you look at the organization and then when they lose all these games and Deshaun Watson, of course, has his stuff where he quits and then he gets alleged to have done the sexual misconduct with every masseuse in Houston. All of that makes the organization look bad. But my thought process was always, yes, this doesn't look good, but they are not the worst organization in the NFL.
Oh, 100%.
They got money.
In terms of the operational stuff, and look, the Texans graded very well this year and all this stuff. Like, they're top 10 in almost every single category. And it's funny because most of the times when you click on these teams and there's something negative in the end, the only negative thing that the players want is they want a sauna. It's like one area the players believe can be improved is adding a steam room and or sauna, something offered by nearly every other team in the NFL.
I've never understood saunas.
Yeah.
Do you do saunas?
I used to.
I remember the last time I did a sauna, I'm not even kidding, was because somebody that I was pursuing, I knew that she did them, and I was like, oh, I'm in the sauna too.
I would go steam room over sauna.
I don't even know what the difference is.
The steam room is one with all, it's way hotter, felt like. I always feel like you sweat more in the steam room.
I don't get why you go in there to sweat. It sounds miserable.
Yeah, it's not. It's
does
not.
It like, does it's it like okay. purify you like the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
I think it's to open your pores.
I guess.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But like it's, no, this thing is funny because like the Chiefs got crushed.
There
by
are
their
some
players.
Teams that they look horrible crushed. After this one.
The Chiefs' grades are absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, the only thing that's good about them is their head coach, basically. I mean, and that's not surprising. The Bengals is absolutely awful. And that's a cheap
they're
franchise.
Cheap, right. They've
that
got
is a cheap
F's.
Franchise.
They got three Fs. Yeah. F-, in fact, which I didn't even know was possible.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to me because that's not typically how grades work. But they got an F- in treatment of families. That one's tough. Like, of all the things that are in here, I actually think that's the one that
Dom
I would,
kill them.
I would be most concerned about if I was, like, the ownership group.
Well, I don't know. I think that the food, cafeteria, nutritionist, dietitian being F-minus when you're trying to ensure that these guys' bodies are running at 100% mm-hmm. all year, that's pretty bad, too. But that's guess what? The Bengals are F-minus in all three of those.
Yeah, and then you get teams like the Commanders are drawing F-minuses and training room, training staff. I guess that was the one from the Texans that it was a little, since it dropped a little bit, they did have quite a bit of injuries this year.
Your Bears didn't do so bad. They got a couple of A's.
That surprises
me. They got a couple of B's.
Yeah.
Nothing lower than a C. They would have passed class.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. They're
walking for graduation.
They're 10th of 32, Joe.
Yeah, that surprises me a little bit. I know they have nice facilities besides the field itself. I guess maybe
that's
it.
That top 10, that makes the playoffs.
You'd beat the Packers in that, I assume.
I would assume as well.
Treatment of families. I'm just obsessed with the treatment of families. The fact that it's not only is it a grade, you can sort by like highest to lowest, and I'm just counting the number of teams that are above a C+ in treatment of family. Only 9 teams in the NFL are above a C+, and the way they treat their families, lots of Fs, lots of D+.
That's tough.
Patriots, F-. Steelers, F-. Commanders, F-. Chargers, F. Bucks, F. As far as treatment of families.
I mean,
what are you doing to these families?
That's what I'm wondering, too.
Getting F-. What, 5 teams get an F-?
I think one of them that was revealed, I want to say it was the Chargers, where basically, like, you have to pay for, like, I guess...
the family room.
Family room.
There's, like, a daycare for games and stuff in these stadiums, and they have to pay for
it. Yeah, that's tough, because last year the Arizona Cardinals got exposed for having their players have to pay for food.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's... brutal.
I'm sure that happens in more places than you would think.
Like, I honestly, I will say, I guess that maybe it's being naive. It really surprised me. I thought, like, maybe in colleges you would see Vanderbilts, Northwesterns, those smart schools that even though, like, they have money, they don't really get
it.
They
don't put it into the athletic but, like, programs.
There's no version of the Oakland Athletics in the NFL, I thought.
No, because of revenue sharing. Everything, I mean.
Yeah, they have so much money.
Everyone should have a lot of money, but obviously, billionaire by billionaire, some people take shortcuts to cut costs. And it is interesting to note all of those things, because now that the Texans have a quarterback, in addition to having a lot of good grades on this front, it does help. It does help to have these little things with the boxes checked off. It's
100%.
It's amazing how many organizations are bad on this front. And again, it's the Players Association, and it does feel like, as Sean said a little bit ago, like maybe some of these guys are used to really lofty standards at the big schools in the SEC. Still,
but you're the NFL.
Yeah.
All these teams have money.
You should be above the SEC. Like,
yeah. Well, some of it is. Because the reason the locker rooms in college are so nice is because they couldn't pay the players. So they literally, the money has to go somewhere. So they're just like, hey, new locker room. I do think, though, I think with free agency and stuff, mostly it's just how much money you can offer these guys. I think, like, fringe cases, it actually matters what the training room and stuff is. But I just don't see a world where it's like, you know what? I saw how they treat the families. They're one of the 100%. Three teams with a B-.
The only time it ever matters is if you have two teams offering you the same exact contract, and you go, well, this people, like, I don't, like, they did not treat my family well. I'm out of here. It's always about money.
But even then, it's like, well, they might be in different cities. They might have different taxes. They might have different, you know, they might be, one might be closer to your family than the other. It's just how much is strength coach coming into these people's, these guys' equation?
I would think showers and toilets working would be one. And the Bengals, apparently, like, half the showers don't work and half the toilets don't work.
But of the teams that we think can knock off the Chiefs. Bengals are number 2. The Chiefs have bad locker rooms. They're the dynasty in the NFL.
Would having to huddle in a crappy one of the showers that actually works, or waiting in line to, you know, drop the kids off, not at the daycare, would those two
detriments in the Bengals' locker room, would those outweigh playing with Joe Burrow? Where you gotta, like...
No!
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd want a hot shower. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
Give me a hot shower.
But
a shower at home.
But you get to huddle... So you have to huddle in the bathroom. Okay. But you know, you also get to huddle with Joe Burrow. You don't have to sit there looking at Mason Rudolph in the face and being like, well, at least I got a hot shower after this.
All right. We got one more segment left to go before the Killer Bees take over today. It's everyone's favorite segment, Garbage Time, next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Final segment of the show before we get into garbage time. Let's go right out to the phones. HRP listener line. Ryan. Ryan, hello. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Sports.
Wrong show.
So I wanted to ask the Double G's a question. Is this still going to be the most interactive show on sports radio?
Yes, that's why we had you. That's why we had you on the show. Thank you, Ryan. Goodbye. Yeah. Thank you for calling John and Lance tomorrow and also saying sports, and they told you wrong show.
Also, so, boom, interactive.
Goodbye. Yeah, that's why I took him.
Why did you say sports?
That's the Blitz. That was like their thing.
Yeah, the caller would be like, hey, guys, what's going on? And then they would just go, sports.
They would go, the caller would go, sports. And then Adrian Ferg would go, sports. Yeah. And then they would talk about sports.
Yeah, and then they would get into the question.
All right, it's garbage time.
That wasn't it.
I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Guess what, guys? An NFL player got arrested, and you get to guess where he played and what he did. He was arrested in Texas. What do you think involved in said arrest, gentlemen?
Last time I remember a player in the NFL getting arrested in Texas was, who was the Bears wide receiver who was trafficking like hundreds of pounds of weed?
Sam Hurd.
Sam Hurd. Was it Sam Hurd?
Yeah.
It was. This guy.
No weed.
So trafficking weed.
No, but
$100.
He was trafficking something.
Okay.
Pills?
People?
No. Not people either.
Okay, thank God.
What
is he trafficking?
Coke? Meth!
Oh.
And
that seems bad.
Gun charges as well. Imagine getting arrested in Texas on gun charges. What'd you have?
Meth.
Former Raiders cornerback Damon Arnett was arrested last month and charged with possession of less than a gram of meth.
Tough.
And unlawful carrying of a firearm. Okay, so at least he wasn't trafficking the meth. This is the same guy who was a first-round draft pick of the then... Wait, were they in Oakland then? Of the Raiders in 2020. But he lasted only a year and a half before the team cut him during the 2021 season. By the way, this is also a guy who had been arrested in Las Vegas. He basically signed with the Kansas City Chiefs, got arrested in Vegas days later, and they cut his ass because he pulled a gun on a valet during a dispute. But I mean, who hasn't thought
that's
about
illegal?
That? Yeah, who hasn't thought about pulling a gun on a valet in a dispute? You don't do it.
That was Vegas.
I've never gotten into an argument with a valet before.
I've had a valet in one specific Houston restaurant either damage my car or cause me great inconvenience four times. And we had to go to this place because it used to be a sponsor. Yeah, not a fan. I hate that place with a passion.
I understand.
It's not worth the restaurants are not worth that. Anyway, let's continue to go through garbage time. Are you guys tired of Johnny Manziel or do you want to hear some Johnny Manziel stories?
He's always got something going on.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny Manziel, one, said his depression in Cleveland was so bad that even when LeBron James invited him over for boys' night, humble brag, he was too sad to leave his bed. And did you know that he lost 40 pounds by doing cocaine?
I saw that part of the story. I didn't see the LeBron part of the story.
So, Joe, I mean, you're looking to lose weight.
Can't do it.
Okay, you have to admit, though, that's probably the most fun way to lose weight.
Yeah.
Probably. Because you're not, like, you know, better than that diet. You don't have to work out.
Yeah. All the other ones suck.
Yeah.
This one, you get to beyond cocaine.
Yeah, smoking cigarettes is like the other way, right? I would think. And smoking cigarettes, yeah, you're just going to smell.
You know, I don't really know if I buy that one.
Well, it supposedly suppresses your appetite because all you want is the nicotine.
I guess that people were skinnier before they started to try to tell people cigarettes were terrible for you.
I think there's a lot of factors going on there.
True. People go to Taco Bell like we do.
Yeah. Taco Bell wasn't invented back then.
Yeah, that's true. Just McDonald's. Really the only one.
Yep, not going to either of those two places. Anyway!
So you don't do any fast food, Paul?
Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A, which barely counts.
It really doesn't count.
It's so good,
it's
though.
It's so much better.
By the way, if they do the surge pricing like Wednesday, or like Wednesday, like Wendy's, but they're still closed on Sundays, F out of here.
Yeah, there might be a real
We should actually just march on Chick-fil-A.
I think Paul's about to say he doesn't care.
I think I'd still go.
You would.
You'd pay $14 for a chicken sandwich?
Yeah. I don't get it all the time. I'm not doing it every day.
I give them so much credit for how efficient they are, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're in and out.
Like,
no, that's a different restaurant.
They're also very efficient. There's one by my house, though.
Yeah, there's such a religious cult-like worship of Whataburger, and it does have a huge menu. I will give it that.
Look, but like they're often very terrible. Like
they're slow.
The service
they're so
is
slow.
They're slow, and it takes a while.
This Whataburger over here by the station is the worst Whataburger on the planet in terms of speed.
Not worth the honey barbecue.
There can literally be no one in line, and you're there for 15 minutes. It makes no sense. Yeah.
One last story. Ronaldo is in hot water in Saudi Arabia.
Uh-oh.
Could he face jail time? So he's been getting really upset because every game he's played at, I guess Saudi Arabians are kind of sarcastic and have been chanting Messi, Messi, Messi. So in one of the games, he made a lewd gesture with his hands that resembled wax on, wax off, if you will, from, of course, the Karate Kid, as everyone knows. And I guess he is now under investigation by the Saudi Arabian government for said lewd gesture.
Yeah.
Don't they chop off hands for that?
You got to know where you're living, buddy.
Oh, that's for stealing. Okay. Well, yeah, I think so. But, I mean, if you're that rich, can you survive that?
I guarantee you.
You definitely can. For sure.
Your hand gets chopped off?
I'm guessing he does a lot of stuff that's illegal in Saudi Arabia.
I think he did something like his first day there, I remember.
Really?
I think he lives with a woman that isn't his wife.
Yeah,
that's frowned upon.
In sin! How dare he!
Huge problem. All right, he is Paul Gallant. You can find him on Twitter at Gallant Says. Sean Mapes on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. I'm Joe George on Twitter at Joe George Radio. That does it for us. The Killer Bees with Jeremy and Joel are up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 12.
Peace!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.